It would be too complicated for you to figure out by yourself. Plus the fact that everyone would want to make things extremely easy for themselves and not have any problems. You wouldn't grow that way. D. Can you choose the type of person you will be? S. You have certain characteristics. You are the sum total of everything you have ever been or done. You are a person. You may be slightly imprinted through your childhood by the people you're around, but that is more of an added element. It doesn't really change you. You are what you are. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. What you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, how you've lived and handled every situation. You are a sum total of all these things. What about free will? Part of that is, each soul has a personality. Because of that, there is free will in the fact that we know how that person will decide in any given situation because they are that person. Based on what they have done in their other past lives, the personality is very predictable. They can prevent certain things from happening just by changing or going against the character, but it's unusual for a person to change that drastically. I thought you meant that these things were set up and that was the way they had to be. That you didn't have anything to say about it. You wouldn't learn unless you made your own decisions. You have to handle your own mistakes. Then is our theory of predestination correct? To the extent that the predestiny you see is your own, and not determined by some god in the sky who says, you shall do this and you shall do that. And you shall do some other. The predestination you perhaps see in your future is entirely your own because you, yourself, choose which path you will take. It might be relevant to say that the you I speak of here has a far greater scope than what you yourself are accessible to. There is in each of us a far greater part than we are aware of. Each of us are tips of our own iceberg, and it is this iceberg which chooses our destiny. That is why it is so easy to ascribe those experiences which you might call unpleasant to some god, some unseen deity in the clouds. Someone who says, you shall grovel and wail and gnash your teeth, while the one next to you shall ride in splendor and enjoy a life of luxury. This is not the case at all. It is that each of us is simply speaking from our own very limited perspective. So things are not all predestined? Only to a certain degree. They are predestined in the fact that, like I said, you know the personality and that that person will ultimately come up to that decision. The personality basically stays the same. It only changes as you grow. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. Then you have an idea of what kind of situation they will function in. Some people say you don't have any choice about things. That's just people's way of saying, since we don't have any choice about the matter, why should I worry about what's going on, because it will happen to me anyway. And that's just a person's way of being very lazy about it and not wanting to grow. Then apparently they do have a great deal to say about it. Do you think it's already planned out who you are to meet and the people you will have association with? To some extent, because you have some type of a previous bond with most of the people that you meet throughout your life. You will have things to work out between two or maybe more individuals. Sometimes you come together in a trio, sometimes you come together in a whole group, with the things you have to work out with these people. Sometimes you're born among them, which makes it easier. This also explains why some parents and children cannot stand each other, because they hated each other previously. They decided they wanted to try to at least work something out, but they just aren't handling it very well. But once you go back into the physical body, you don't remember these things. To a great extent that's true. But there are always ways of tapping into their consciousness. It just takes time and study. Many people ask me why we don't remember our past lives. They think it would help a lot if we consciously knew about these karmic connections. It wouldn't. It would make things too complicated. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to function in the everyday world if you had the memories of countless past lives constantly bombarding you? You would never be able to concentrate on the lessons you have to work out during this lifetime. Sometimes when you're a young child you remember your past connections because you're still close to it. But then the memories you get in future years bury these memories and you forget, although they're still there in your subconscious. As a consequence, when you have a feeling you should do one thing instead of another and you follow that feeling, it's generally because your subconscious is subtly reminding you of a certain aspect of karma. D. Something you didn't do right before. S. Yes. That is the reason why, in general karma, you have been allowed to develop this technique of hypnosis and other medical techniques as a way of finding out about some of this past karma so that the people involved with this can progress even more swiftly. That has to do partly with entering the age of Aquarius. D. It's some little shortcuts. But that's what many people think, that they should be able to remember these things on their own. They think it would help them work their problems out. S. They're expecting too much of themselves. It doesn't normally happen that way. D. It seems like it would be easier if you remembered the problems you had with these people. S. But then again, it would be harder because you would bring the prejudices of the past forward with the remembrance. That's what we're trying to avoid. In some cases it does help. Some people can handle it a little better than others. But in most cases it doesn't work. If you're still angry because of the past feelings, all that it is bringing forward is the anger, with not very much logic with it. And so it doesn't always help. D. But people say, if I remembered what happened with them before, I could understand it and handle it better. S. That's not always true. Because if they were mature enough to handle their grievances now, I would say they were probably mature enough to handle them in that prior commitment. But if they're having problems dealing with it now, on trust, as it were just accepting them, they can't accept the problem of before to go with it. D. Then you think it's better that some people don't remember. S. Yes, on a whole. There are exceptions to every rule. D. Some people, their personalities are not advanced enough to understand these things anyway. S. This is true. D. Do you know what karma is? A general definition of karma is the universal law of balance, of cause and effect, where everything both good and bad must be repaid or balanced out. S. I think the word in itself. Different people have added their own meaning. It's hard to really say, but as a very general word it means loving. As an example, you know that if you kill, that you have to face it again. For instance, let's say you killed for money. Then you must come around to the same thing again till you can overcome it. Situations are oftentimes turned around and you might be lulled for money. D. Oh, a complete reversal. S. Yes, or you may have to leave a very delightful life where things are all pleasant and good. You cut it short. Therefore you have to experience the loss of something. It all comes around. D. I've also heard there are other ways of paying it back. It wouldn't have to be a life for a life. S. No, say you do a person a great injustice. You do something wrong to them. Then you may have to come back in another life and serve them. Maybe you'd have to take care of them and serve them and be their protector to make up for a wrong you may have done them before. So sometimes it's the dedication of the life. The giving up of yourself for that other person. What you do is always justified some way. D. What about you? Are you a young soul or an old soul? In other words, have you been around a long time or a short time? S. All souls have been around for the same degree. Some of us have chosen, for our own personal reasons, to incarnate into the body more often than others. That is where they get the term old or young soul. Some are young in terms of earthly experience. I have found that I like to do what I can in a tangible way to help not only myself but others. Thus, I have had a tendency to keep coming back over and over. D. Then a young soul would be one that has not had much earth experience. S. Yes, or just experience in the other realms because earth is not the only realm of consciousness. D. You said you were going to the schools, that you were learning lessons there. Well, if you're able to learn lessons while you're in the spirit world, why is it necessary to incarnate in the physical form at all? S. There is great need for this due to the fact that I just like reading a book. When you have read a book, the knowledge is within you. But you have not utilized it. And if you do not use this knowledge, it has no worth. You cannot change yourself without experiencing a reason to change. It is stronger, more personal if you are experiencing or living the problems. It is not felt this greatly when you have just read about something. You can learn all about how to do something by reading the book, but unless you have the hands-on experience, it doesn't do you a bit of good. D. They say it's difficult to experience on Earth in the body. That this is a hard way to learn lessons. Do you think that's true? S. It is a hard way to learn lessons, but they are more lasting. If you can learn a lesson through all other struggles that you go through, it will remain with you. I think we could use an analogy and compare this to a college course in chemistry. You can learn how to perform many experiments from reading the book, but until you have actually mixed the chemicals and followed the directions yourself and see the results, the experiments remain only words in a book. Through practice you understand the procedure and results more fully. Many people with college degrees have only book knowledge that they cannot apply to their own lives. This is where the hands-on experience comes in. This example can also be applied to mechanics and other similar occupations where there is book learning versus the actual handling of materials. D. Do you know how many lives you have lived? S. I have no idea. 100 maybe, maybe more. I have lost count. D. It's hard to keep track. S. After the first 50 or so, yes. I could see how this could happen because as I worked with one woman for a year on merely 26 lives, they began to blur together and I started to have difficulty distinguishing them from each other. I could see how they each influenced the other and how they were components of the whole integrated personality, like pieces of a puzzle. D. Do they keep a record anywhere? S. They do, but it's not important. It's just the experience that is important. D. Have you ever heard of something called the Akashic Records? S. Yes, the records of life. There are those entities who are the guardians of the records and they are allowed to read them. Some, who have studied and have practiced for years, have small access to them. But there are very few, and none that I know who are incarnate, who have full access to those records. Another spirit saw these records as much more accessible. D. Have you ever heard of the Akashic Records? She hesitated. Maybe you call it something else. Do you think there's a record anywhere of all the times you've ever lived? S. Oh, yes. I guess if I had to call it anything, I would call it the Book of Life. A. It's on the record of what you have done. Stand over there. It's very big. D. Is that just your record or everybody's? S. Well, everybody can go to it and refer through it. You turn the pages, and if I'm looking in it, then it reflects what I look for. If another looks in it, then it reflects what they look for. It's a magical type of book. D. I was wondering how everybody's records could be in one book. It would have to be a big book. S. What you think you want to find, what you are looking for, is just there. Another entity tried to explain the Akashic Records on a more personal level. S. True to your belief system, there are the Akashic Records which may be accessed in order to withdraw personal information which you may seek. This concept of Akashic Records is perhaps not totally understood. We would wish to define this now. Perhaps you could use an analogy of the safe deposit boxes in your bank. The individual boxes themselves store your personal belongings. The concept of the bank itself is a storehouse, however, each individual box contains only that which is relevant to yourself. And so you can see that you yourself store or, in fact, are the safe deposit box of your own energy. It is simply that we may go to your particular vault or box and withdraw that information which you seek. You, yourself, however, are the receptacle for this information. D. Do these safety deposit boxes contain all the records of our future as well as our past lives? S. They contain only that which is appropriate for you at this time. There are, of course, those areas of questioning which would not be appropriate for you to receive information from, and therefore you would find nothing of that sort in your particular box. D. How is the information deposited in the box? Is it by the life we live, our thoughts that we think or what? S. All that you experience, every singular piece of experience that you relate to in your life, is automatically fed into this as you experience it. It is simply as if tape is being made of your life, and is then available to be referenced to any time. D. Is it possible for other people to have access to that tape? S. Of course it can be, as you already know through your work. D. Is that what happens in what we call a parallel life situation? S. It is indeed possible to cross-reference others' Akashic records simultaneously and receive impressions of the experiences lived by another individual. This is not as uncommon as it may seem. An emphatic reaction is precisely this mechanism in effect. D. In other words, when we are exploring what appears to be a past life experience, we could be investigating somebody else's Akashic records. S. Or perhaps, your own. D. Is there any way we can determine the difference? S. Is it relevant to know? The fact that it is being replayed is, by virtue of the fact that it is being given to you, proof that it is relevant. Therefore, no distinction should be necessary as to who the record belongs to. The fact that it is being replayed is an indication that it is the appropriate replay for you at the particular time. I have also been told that there are some things that are not appropriate for us to know about, and those questions would not be answered. That some information is as poison instead of medicine, and it's better not to let us know about some things, a form of censorship for our own protection. D. There is the theory that all of a person's life is recorded as an energy. You use the analogy of a tape recorder. But there is the idea that all things, even thoughts and actions and everything, produce energy, and that this energy remains intact. Is this a good analogy of a safe deposit box? S. That is accurate. It is also possible to erase this where necessary. To remove perhaps a particular segment of an experience from the records that would serve no useful purpose, for example, the ovens of Auschwitz, the experience of burning Jews. D. Can we consciously do this if we are determined to? S. It is not for you to say, for you are merely a very small part of your entire self. It is your whole self which, in conjunction with the keepers of the information, would make that determination. It is not done on a conscious level, for you do not have access to the information which would make the determination as to whether any particular segment of your experience is suitable for erasure. This decision involves the keepers of the records in conjunction with the higher forms or levels of your awareness. D. You mentioned the erasure of events such as the ovens of Auschwitz. Are they erased because of their negativity? S. We would say that for those individuals who experienced the ovens, for the most part this was not an intended experience. So for their karmic protection, that is, in order for this not to cause problems in their subsequent lives, this experience could be erased, such that their subconscious could not access the tragedy of such an occurrence, which would indeed cause problems in subsequent lifetimes. D. Is this part of the process that occurs when they go into the resting place? S. That is accurate. It is a healing process where these traumatic experiences are nullified by the healing energies. D. Could you explain then how that process works involving those who were perpetrators of those crimes? S. Their karmic records would reflect the punishment that would be appropriate for whatever atrocities were undertaken. For in so storing these atrocities, there is also given that which is appropriate penance, to use a religious terminology. The paybacks would be evident on playback. And so during the readying for the next incarnation, by assessing that which needs to be healed, there would be given that which is the healing experience. D. I was wondering about the playback. Is the whole thing played back before you're reborn? S. Perhaps this is entirely an individual type of statement. In that, for some perhaps the entire incident would be reviewed. However, for others perhaps only a brief synopsis would be given. It is entirely up to the particular individual and the particular goals which are being planned for the upcoming lifetime. It is not possible to make one blanket statement which would cover all possibilities. D. Would you ever have to look over all the lives you have led, or do you just deal with the immediate ones? S. You deal with the ones that are not necessarily immediate, but the ones that you feel you are far enough removed from now to work with that particular karma. When a person dies, their next thoughts may not particularly deal exclusively with any of the karma incurred in the last life, but may deal with the lives successive and previous to that, if you feel you are capable of coming face to face with what has been incurred. D. You mean you don't keep a scorecard, so to speak, on all the lives you have lived and go back over it? S. nodded one time, no. The records are there. It would be too much karma to deal with at one time. D. Then you don't go over the whole thing and say, now I need to do this and this to correct karma from the lives way back. S. If they are that far back in existence, usually the problems have been dealt with. D. Do you remember what your first life was? S. If the lessons have been learned, I have a tendency to forget about them. D. I always think the first time you do something you remember it more than others. S. This is not always necessarily true. D. Are there any rules or regulations about how many lives you have to live altogether? S. Some may be able to complete their karma in one life if they live a very exemplary life, and that is the end of it. Others must go on for many, many lifetimes to work out things that they have brought upon themselves and to learn what they need to learn. There are some who are very new in experience because they have perhaps just recently decided to try out earthly incarnations. Others have been around since the beginning working on what they need to work on. Others who, perhaps, started at the beginning with the others but through long periods of rest in between lives or learning through other means, perhaps have only had a few lifetimes. D. Did you begin incarnating right away? S. Within a very short amount of time, which is a very long time from there to now. I have heard there is much information to be learned and gathered. If my telling any of this will help others, then it will also help with karma that I have incurred in doing things against others. I had been working with this woman for a year, going over almost 30 lives, and I felt I had only scratched the surface. S. It will not be necessary to relate all of my lives because perhaps some were resting lives and mean nothing to anyone else except this entity. However, there are many lives that many lessons could be learned from. D. I am studying each one to see a pattern, a reason for karma being worked out in different ways. S. Yes. But do not always expect to find answers in what you receive. Even on our level, we are just looking at it from one viewpoint, and our viewpoint is still very small in comparison to the whole. D. I have noticed that some of them are what I call simple lives, resting lives. S. Yes, where there is no more incurring of karma, whether good or bad. D. Many of these lives were not mental, intelligent lives. They were more or less physical. S. But they are important to the entity and to the rounding of the follow-end result. A resting life can be defined as an insignificant life, although I do not think any life is truly insignificant. Each life is the unique story of a human being and, as such, all have merit. A resting life can be long or short. It is one where the entity appears to coast through a dull, seemingly meaningless life where nothing really extraordinary happens. We all know people like this, who seem to skate through life with nothing bothering them. They do not make waves. Karma may be repaid and worked out in such a life, apparently without creating new karma. I imagine everyone needs a life like this once in a while, as we could not continuously go from one traumatic life to another without slowing down and relaxing. The resting life is perfect for this, and thus it has merit even though the personality might seem dull and unimportant. This may also help us to understand people in our own experiences who are living this type of life now. We should realize that we cannot judge. We cannot know what type of life the person is resting from or preparing for, what their accomplishments may have been in other times and what they may accomplish the next time around. D. Is this school the only place you can learn? S. No, there are other types of schools in other planes of existence. Everything must be experienced to a certain extent, at least once. D. Do you go to the school every time you finish a life? S. Not always. Sometimes you choose to rest. I had encountered people many times in the resting place. When they are there, they do not wish to talk. They sound very sleepy and will volunteer no information, the same as a human would do if awakened in the middle of the night. They also can give no description, as though there is none to give. It seems to be a quiet, peaceful place to get away from everything and for a while, maybe a year or maybe hundreds, to have nothing to think about and no problems until they are once again ready to join the never-ending wheel of life. D. Is the resting place in a different place than where you are?
S. No, there isn't a difference. Some people come to the school and then spend a certain amount of time resting before they go upon any avenues of learning at all. Others go to a place which is just for resting, where there is total silence and the essence of nothingness.
D. That's the place I was asking about. Do they usually go there after a very traumatic life?
S. Or when they have no wish to forget and want to carry it over?
Yes. I was thinking about the story of Gretchen in my book Five Lives Remembered. She kept trying to return to Heck's lifetime in Germany even though it was impossible. She was continually sent to the resting place until all memory of the persistent life was erased. Then she was able to reincarnate and function normally.
D. Yes, I encountered a person who wanted to carry it over. She wouldn't let go and she was sent to a place that sounds like what you're talking about.
Many spirits tell me different things but they describe similar places.
S. All have an essence of the truth. We must gather things that we hear and learn from everything, instead of closing our ears to some things that we may not want to hear.
D. Maybe you can help clarify some of these things. It can be very confusing.
S. Confusion leads to ignorance.
D. Does a resting life serve the same purpose as going to the resting place?
S. To a smaller extent. The resting place is to completely erase everything up to that point. And the resting lives are just perhaps they have just come from a stressful life and they need the rest but not necessarily to forget the personality because that is easily done. The resting place is for those who have problems forgetting the personality that they were or the problems that they had, and keep identifying with that facet of that entity. That personality would be too strong of an influence on the following lives. This is the type that you go to the resting place to forget.
D. Then a resting life would serve a different purpose?
S. Not totally different. Maybe just a different angle of that same purpose. While living a resting life, there is not a lot of stress put on the personality. After a simple life, you could then go into one that would be more meaningful and again work out difficult karma. I think that it would be hard to continually go from one stressful life to another. You might need to slow down and coast for a while, and a resting life would serve that purpose perfectly.
D. I guess they all have a reason, don't they?
S. All things have reasons.
D. You are the one who is going to school but it seems as though you are teaching me, too. We all have room to grow, don't we?
S. And I still have a long path to follow.
I asked her to continue describing the various places of learning.
S. There are an ultimate number of schools and resting places, depending upon the need. Sometimes you need to go back and think over the lessons you needed to learn in that life, and explore them to see what you did accomplish. Sometimes it is what you want to accomplish that causes you to go to school. Sometimes you just go directly into another life.
D. Are there any rules or regulations about these things?
S. Not if the choice is the self. Unless in special cases. If it is felt there will be too much carryover, then you would either come here to school and try to work it out or you would go to the place of rest.
D. But you can go right back into another life?
S. Yes, if the soul wishes.
D. I thought maybe you had to wait so many years or something.
S. Not always, no. It depends upon that particular soul's capacity to handle things that will be thrown at them, the problems that they will face. Some need more time in between existences to be able to cope with going from one to the other, or to just forget.
D. Is it better to forget before you come back again?
S. In many cases, yes. If there is no need for lessons carrying over that you need for the next existence, then there are many good reasons to forget. Otherwise the person would be continually trying to get back into the life that they led before, which is not possible. This was what happened with Gretchen in the German life in Five Lives Remembered. It took her 200 years in the resting place to finally reconcile herself to not being able to return to the life she had left. It was such a strong, violent life that when she was finally able to return to Earth it had to be as a complete reversal in personality. It was the only way she could cope and continue with her earthly lessons.
D. Are there cases where it would be better if they didn't forget?
S. In those cases, there is something to be learned from the previous existence that has direct bearing on what they are to go through and experience in this life. D. In those cases, is it better to come back right away?